Lewis Goodall on LBC.
Now, it gives me great pleasure to say this because normally at this time of the evening on a Friday, I am limbering up myself to get into this chair until 9 o'clock. So I'm, you know, just sort of applying the sort of facial grease and making sure that I'm, you know, putting my makeup on and hairspray and so on. But tonight, it is my pleasure to introduce to you as we go on towards, sailing towards 6 o'clock, the great Mr. Simon Marks, American Week.
Lewis, I am in Tokyo tonight, where last night we had an earth tremor that shook people up a bit. And I realised when I woke up this morning that it had taken place at almost the exact moment that a top Democrat back in Washington was addressing the US Senate.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel.
Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, one of President Biden's top confidants, finally saying the quiet stuff out loud, a seismic event in and of itself. He called the Israeli leader an obstacle to peace and demanded fresh elections to choose a successor.
He has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
Now, one of the rules of American politics is that if you're not quite ready to do something yourself, you get someone else to soften the ground up for you. And we have seen President Joe Biden engaged in a lot of that over the last fortnight.
Given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire.
Yeah! Vice President Kamala Harris, 2 weekends ago, also articulating words that have not left the lips of the president she serves.
This will get the hostages out and get a significant amount of aid in. This would allow us to build something more enduring, to ensure Israel is secure, and to respect the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination.
You could hear there from the reaction of the crowd that those comments were like a pressure valve being released for some of those Americans who fault the Biden administration's handling of the crisis. We later learned that she originally intended to go further, but her speech was watered down on the orders of President Biden's national security team. The trend here is obvious. The president himself is preparing publicly to break with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And last Saturday, in an interview with left-leaning MSNBC, he began turning his personal cruise liner around.
What is your red line with Prime Minister Netanyahu?
There's no red line. I'm going to cut off all weapons so they don't have the Iron Dome to protect them. They don't have, but there's red lines that if he crosses and they continue, cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead as a consequence of going after. There's other ways to deal with the trauma caused by Hamas.
Which, of course, does not explain why he has tolerated the first 30,000 deaths in Gaza. Those remarks infuriated the Israeli Prime Minister, who said he would still authorize an offensive against Rafah in Gaza and would not be dissuaded by the president in Washington. Watch this space. It's about to get very ugly. So is America's election campaign. This was the week when we learnt there is no turning back. It will be a rematch of 2020. Both Joe Biden and Donald Trump made that a mathematical certainty after a series of primary contests on Tuesday.
This was a great day of victory.
Donald Trump in a victory message on Tuesday night.
We're not going to take time to celebrate. We'll celebrate in 8 months when the election is over. So start thinking about it.
Oh, I'm thinking about it all right. This week, he bestowed a new moniker on himself. On social media, he said the November election will be a battle between Crooked Joe and Honest Don. You cannot make it up.
I think the change in leadership at the RNC has really inspired a lot of people to give.
That is the former president's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, now ensconced as the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. This week, she engaged in a purge of staff members members there as Donald Trump moved to recreate the party's engine room in his own image. A bloodbath, some observers called it, as 30% of the RNC's staff were shown the door, considered by the Trumps, plural, to be insufficiently loyal to the former president's Make America Great Again agenda, and not doing a good enough job bringing more money through the door to finance the Trump campaign.
I have personally received over the past 36 hours phone calls from multiple people who want to donate max out money to the RNC, to the Trump effort, because people understand what is at stake right now. So that money is going to start coming back in. We do have to catch up. I believe we will, and I believe it's because people are now inspired.
Lara Trump spoke on right-leaning Newsmax TV, conceding there that Joe Biden has a massive financial advantage over her father-in-law. And this week, Biden started spending some of his war chest, unveiling a $30 million advertising and organizational blitz in the seven key battleground states where Trump is currently comfortably ahead of him.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people.
In that ad, Biden leans into the age issue, and 1 week after he could not bring himself to articulate his predecessor's name during the State of the Union address, the president takes Donald Trump to the woodshed.
Donald Trump believes the job of the president is to take care of Donald Trump. I believe the job of the president is to fight for you, the American people, and that's what I'm doing.
It is very early for the kind of campaign blitz that Biden is now unleashing in the swing states that will eventually decide the outcome of this election. But that is testament to the urgency with which he needs to turn things around and the panic within the Biden team that will spread if the current strategy does not work. Now, you might say it is a brave American president who prepares to risk the support of Jewish American voters this autumn by breaking with the Israeli government, but he'd be an even braver one to risk losing more support among young American voters. And yet, that is exactly what Joe Biden is doing by backing an effort to ban TikTok in the United States if its Chinese parent company does not divest itself of the social media platform.
On this vote, the yeas are 352, the nays are 65. The bill is passed, and without the objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
On Wednesday, in a rare moment of bipartisanship, Democrats and Republicans came together in the House of Representatives to pass a bill that could see TikTok removed from the main app stores that Americans use. Critics claim the Chinese government can use it to vacuum up the personal details of every American on it and to disseminate misinformation that could impact the outcome of, among other things, this year's election. It is notable that no similar move is planned against the platforms operated by Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, even though demonstrably the use of both Facebook and the platform we all still call Twitter runs similar risks. TikTok's CEO, Xiao Chu, who had led a massive lobbying campaign to try and head the threat to his platform off, described the vote as disappointing.
Over the last few years, we have invested to keep your data safe and our platform free from outside manipulation. We have committed that we will continue to do so. We will continue to do all we can, including exercising our legal rights, to protect this amazing platform that we have built with you.
The issue now goes to the Senate, where it is less clear that the bill will pass. But if it does, President Biden says he will sign the measure into law, even though he himself is now on TikTok. As I said earlier, I'm in Japan at the moment, and I wondered who are the biggest Japanese stars on TikTok. So I leave you this week with Junya Wangu, who has 44 million followers on the platform, just eclipsing the 19 that I attracted before I gave it all up.
Mentos battle! Ready, go! 3, 2, 1.
Unlike me, he's got a balloon, an exploding bottle of Coca-Cola, and no cares, at least none that are evident, about the future of the United States.
Ooh!
Lewis, the sound of a truly happy man.
And that was the sound of Simon Mark's Japanese American Week. I think it's fair to say that he's been on the sake.